Franklin and Laura Sandoval met at a Latin dance in Bloomington. She is a registered nurse. He was working at the time in a local restaurant. Before their marriage 3 years ago, Franklin told Laura he was undocumented, and they began looking into legalizing his status.
He didn't know how the process went. We both didn't. So I start looking into trying to figure out how to get it done. It was pretty rough. I actually had to ask a lot of people how they did it.
Sandoval said he had come to the U.S. from Honduras to escape street violence in his town and to search for work.
He lived in poverty, so his family didn't have anything. He didn't even was able to go to school. So he came up here to be able to get away from the lifestyle that was down in Honduras, because it's pretty violent down there.
By the time he met his wife, Sandoval had been living in this country without documents for 10 years. But with his new wife, his life was otherwise like that of many other young couples. Sandoval helped with the rearing of his wife's 3 children from a previous marriage. And together, the couple started a small business, Sandoval's Extra Hands. It did mowing, gardening work, painting, and other odd jobs for mainly elderly customers. One of those customers, Dan Hall, who is disabled, credits Sandoval with helping him and his wife to continue to live independently in their home.
He was just a regular handyman, and there was more and more stuff for him to do, and he would always come whenever we called.
But there was a sword hanging over Sandoval. In 2010, he was arrested in Chester, Illinois, on a misdemeanor battery charge. The police report said he brushed up inappropriately against a woman. His English was poor at the time, and he could not read or write Spanish either. Because he had no prior record, however, he was released on personal recognizance pending a court hearing. He attended his first 2 court hearings without representation, but missed a 3rd hearing. A judge then issued a removal order. Kevin Reka, who is now representing Sandoval, says Sandoval didn't even know an order for his deportation had been issued.
I don't know that Franklin had explored or known how to explore what options were available to him here in the United States. Franklin is profoundly illiterate. He's unable to read or write in Spanish or English. He has some basic skills that he's picked up essentially on his own and through the help of others. But he never had any formal education in Honduras before coming to the United States. He has essentially never received any schooling in his entire life.
Even after the removal order, Sandoval was able to remain under the radar of Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials. That is, until last September 16th. He was leaving Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington after attending a service for his stepdaughter's quinceañera, or 15th birthday celebration. Driving his wife's car, he was involved in a fender bender not far from the church. When police arrived on the scene, they found Sandoval had no driver's license or any other identification.
The police came. They were going to let us go on a violation, a citation, I believe is what it was called. And they said that since he didn't have an ID, they didn't know if he was who he said he was. So they wanted to take him downtown just to make sure.
Checking his record, police came across a warrant for his arrest for failing to show up at his previous immigration court hearing. They took him into custody.
So me, I'm just thinking like, what do I do now? Of course, I kept calling up to the jailhouse trying to figure out what they knew, if they had heard anything, or Franklin, if he had heard anything. So it was just a lot of trying to figure out the resources and what was our next step.
Sandoval spent the weekend in the county jail. He was then sent to a Chicago facility for another 3 days. Finally, he was transferred to a federal detention center in Dodge County, Wisconsin, north of Milwaukee.
The first couple of weeks was really rough because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know, who to talk to. I kept calling the lawyer 3 times a day and trying to, okay, so what's going on? What are we doing? I need somebody there, Who do I call? But we had to wait also because he wasn't in the computer system either, not knowing what was going to happen. It was just really rough. I think I cried for like the first 2 weeks.
Laura Sandoval and her 3 children have not seen her husband since he was transferred to the Wisconsin facility 6 weeks ago. The visiting hours are strictly limited.
They go by the last name, and there's 2 days a week you go see them. And it's for a half hour, and it's only between a certain time during those 2 days.
She says visiting is not possible with her work schedule and family duties. She has had to shut down the family business without her husband's help and now works regular double shifts as a nurse to pay the family's bills.
But my mom has been kind of helping a little bit, and I have my sister has been kind of stepping in and helping with me. But, you know, being by my, you know, without him here, it's I got to be the mom, the dad, the husband, the wife, the yard keeper.
Sandoval calls his wife, Colette, from the detention center twice a day. On one call, he said he dreads going back to Honduras.
I feel bad because my family is right here, my wife and kids. And firstly, I've got all the business here in America. I don't know really much people in my country, Honduras.
In Honduras, he says, he would fear for his life.
Too many criminals, gangsters, killers, all stuff like that. Micropatio, Honduras, you know, people think I have money. So it's killing me or trying to kill one of my families for money, you know.
Laura Sandoval says that in detention, her husband's mental state is deteriorating.
When he got there, they put him in a big room with a whole bunch of people with bunk beds. And then I think recently they just moved him more into like a cell block type of place. There's no privacy. There's a whole bunch of people in there. He told me he hasn't seen the sunlight since he's went there on that Wednesday. He doesn't like the food. The food is definitely not what he's used to because he's more used to eating the Spanish type of food and and things that I cook. And up there, he's just like boiled egg, ramen noodles.
Kevin Reka, Sandoval's attorney, has filed a motion in the Chicago Immigration Court to reopen his case in an effort to have the removal order against him rescinded. Sandoval's fate depends on the discretion of a judge. Reka says in the past, given Sandoval's family and community ties, a judge might have been willing to release him on a bond or place him under some sort of supervision where Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement could track him. But, Reka says, the Trump administration has stepped up enforcement.
It's very frustrating as an immigration attorney today to see the system changing in ways that are just shifts in policy. They aren't shifts in the law. There are things that are being done differently now than 9 or 10 months ago. Unfortunately, we're not seeing as much consideration given to people's lives and to the effect that detention and these things have on people's lives. The focus is very much on enforcement and trying to remove people, and it's not to the realities of their lives here and the harm that this does to their families and to U.S. citizens.
Dan Hall, Sandoval's customer, agrees.
I think it's horrible. I mean, I talk to Franklin about every night or every other night, and he's just going through hell where he's at. I see no reason for that.
Laura Sandoval has posted a petition on Facebook for people to express their support for her husband's case. More than 650 people have signed it. Attorney Reka says he's rarely seen such an outpouring of support for one of his clients.
It really says something about who he is that when the community heard about this, so many people wanted to know what they could do to help in any way.
Laura Sandoval says she waits and prays. She's taken out a loan to pay nearly $10,000 in legal fees she's accumulated fighting her husband's case. She says in the worst case, her husband will be deported, but she will continue trying to gain legal status for him as the spouse of an American citizen. That process could take years, something Sandoval says she prefers not to think about right now. I'm Judy Valente.